So tonight I want to take you on a short journey, and it's going to be kind of in an odd space. I did hear this morning at around 5:30, President Trump is in a new place. And I said, yes, Lord, this is a new day. The old has passed away. Everything is declared new. Praise the Lord. The next thing, obviously, was later on when Pastor Jay called. But in my journey today, the Lord took me to the book of Jonah. And Jonah is having an issue. Is there anything new with that one? And in verse 9, he said, but God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine?
What chapter?
Chapter 4, I'm sorry. Jonah chapter 4, verse 9. God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? He was dealing with me. I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. Now that's a prophet of the Lord. A very well-known prophet. Jesus quoted him. The sign of Jonah is what I'm going to give you. So, you see, I am angry enough to die. Now, remember, it's the Lord he's talking to, okay? And he's having an issue, but he's not afraid to speak it. Which, when I was a boy, if you think I would have ever told the Lord that I was angry enough to die, I think he would have just let me drop and I would have gone into the hole in the ground. Okay? Because my upbringing was like, oh my God, you don't talk to God like that. Okay. Verse 10, but the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. Verse 11. That was the verse he was telling me to pay attention to. Now, we're going to go back and we're going to look at Jonah again, but I want you to hear what he was focused on. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Boy, isn't that an education? And many cattle as well. That includes cats, dogs, animals of all kinds. Should I not be concerned about that great city? So how about the prophet? What kind of a yo-yo is he? What about his anger? What about, is he having any compassion for the thousands and thousands of people in that city? Or is he so loaded with emotions that he's not afraid to tell God off? Think about your religious background. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Okay. He paid the bill. He was angry enough to just head in the total opposite direction. And he's really flipping the Lord out. I ain't going. I can't stand it. I don't want to even talk about it. And you know where my heart is, because I'm not going. Then the Lord sent a great wind. Really? Do you think it howled like last night? The Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. You better pay attention. They're all crying out to their own God. Now, this is not funny, but it's the truth. The other day, I was pressed very strongly. Saw my cousin's face 3 times when I came out of bed. Saw her face totally clear right there, right in front of me. So a few hours later, I picked up the phone and I called her. And she's 2 years younger than me, which she advertises. And we had a nice conversation. It was very sweet. But then she tells me that she is praying to her God to get rid of this coronavirus. And she named her God by name. And all I can tell you is I was not doing very well. Okay? Now, she knows a little bit about my background. But the name of her God that she's praying to get rid of COVID is, I have a sister by that same first name. And my first reaction was to giggle. You know, and I'm not kidding. I mean, this is what she was actually declaring, that she is praying to Saint, and she gives the name, and I want to burst. I literally want to burst, okay? And I heard, cut the anger. Do you hear what I said? Kim, cut the anger. And I thought, she needs a swift adjustment. Who's right?
The Lord, of course.
I wanted to help him out. I had attitude, just like Jonah. I was angry. I wanted to straighten her out and say, and I could feel the anger rolling inside. So who's related to Jonah? I saw it clearly. Oh my God, this is not funny. You know, and I mean, she's stuck. She's calling on this spirit demon, if you wish. And it ain't the one that's got his foot on the enemy. It's some other strange name that I would never repeat. But the bottom line, what I'm saying to you, is she believes this. Hear me. She believes this. So what have I got to do? Somebody's got to get smart on the case, right? And it sure ain't going to be her, because she's stuck. So who's not stuck? Yeah. It's my job to research and hunt for the Lord. And I wanted to call her back because I want to straighten her out. I don't want her in trouble. You guys are having too much fun with me. Okay. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. Digest that. Every religious person that is involved in some form of religion Many of them are calling on a false God to protect them, and they're expecting God to listen. And they don't know their Savior. They don't know his name. They've heard of his name, but they have no clue who he is or his Holy Spirit. I'm adding, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God." Don't you love it? Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Okay, so you guys are all laughing. But this is a true story. Jesus referred to Jonah, the angry prophet. Amen? Okay, so can God deal with my anger and yours? I pray you don't have to be swallowed, but I'm not going to go there. That's not my job. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." I love it. It's time to cut the cards. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Oh, come on. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do?" I love it. What do you do? They want to know his occupation. "Oh, I'm a doctor of the law of the Most High God." Yeah, right. "Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I'm not politically correct." Well, go ahead. It's true, isn't it? We're living in this stuff right now. He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." And I'm running away from him because I don't like his instructions. And I'm mad at the Ninevites. This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. So he's not even able to keep his mouth shut. The sea was getting rough, rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" So who are they looking for? Me, myself, and I. Those wonderful gods. "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm." So he's also prophesying, isn't he? "I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land. But they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Oh, Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, oh, Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. Results. Results. We did it right. We got rid of the irritation. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Did you get this picture? Even in the midst of his anger and rebellion against God, He is actually given enough seeds of life to these on the boat that they're actually acknowledge the Creator and the God of the Hebrews. Think about it. Did God know that this jerk was going to stay so full of anger and create such an issue that he would get a boat of believers out of it? You and I would never consider about all these birds on the boat. But God did. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. That's what Jesus told us about, right? From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, and he said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." Wonder if he's got a different attitude. "From the depth of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled around me, about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me." There's your dream. "I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple." So he's going to change his focus. He's actually going to look towards Jerusalem. "The engulfing waters threaten me. The deep surrounds me. Seaweeds have wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down, and the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, Lord my God." So now he's prophesying. He's having a change of heart with seaweeds. You know, what does it take for us to wake up? "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, O Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." Oh, my God. Now he's on a roll to pray. He's really getting serious. "Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." You know, I mean, when they talk about a song of thanksgiving in the middle of a dead fish or basically dying fish and all that crap that's around him, and he's now going to sing. Good grief. That is really a song of thanksgiving. "I will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good." Oh, we can change our heart here. Salvation comes from the Lord. So he's actually confessing what he knows is truth. Amen? "And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto dry land." I am not positive if this is truth, but there are traditions that say that the Ninevites actually worshipped Dagon, which was a big fish. So when the fish literally vomited Jonah out on the open ocean area, I mean, that was a miracle. The entire city must have heard about it within seconds. Watch. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." Oh, really? "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Not gave you. "Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh." Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned." The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, listen to this, He rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. I want to see Nancy Pelosi putting on sackcloth, along with quite a few others in Washington, and in New York, and in the West Coast, because you see, if God did it for them, he can do it for me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, when you think it's impossible, I mean, and you've got a yo-yo like this for a prophet, I mean, think about what God is able to do. Even with a rebellious bird, he still gets all the people on the ship saved. Come on. Well, didn't he? He got them to offer sacrifice to the God of creation. That's better than many of us can do. Okay. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways. Ha ha! Congress, watch out.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Supreme Court, watch out.
Amen.
The God of heaven, the God of Nineveh, the God of the king of Nineveh was able to change an entire city. He can change any of us. And their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with a compassion turned from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Take a deep breath now. Say, Holy Ghost, I'm starting to catch on.
I need a different mindset.
I don't want to think like Jonah.
I've got some people I can't stand.
But you love them.
You love them enough to set them free.
So don't let the anger
that has festered in me
hinder my prayer.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Chapter 4, verse 1. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Ah, here we go. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life. Oh, what a wonderful idea. For it is better for me to die than to live. In other words, I can't stand if these people are going to be set free. I don't want any part of their future or mine. But the Lord replied, have you any rights to be angry? Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade to his head to ease his discomfort. I mean, come on. You know, that's not the God I serve. I would have let him suffer for a little while. But the God we really serve has all these abilities, and he's showing this guy so much compassion, and he's still not getting it.
And Jonah was very happy about the vine. Thank God, he at least enjoyed the shade. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. Oh, come on. Come on, you guys. Which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. And he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. And in reality, he's saying, and put up with all these guys that you're saving that I can't stand. His prejudice was atrocious. But God said to Jonah, do you have a right to be angry about the vine? I do, he said. I am angry enough to die. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this vine. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left. And many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? And I could change those words and say to you, the entire world has been so bound by the spirit of fear that they can't think straight, they can't operate correctly, and they have no discernment of their left hand versus their right hand. Think about what you're doing when you're looking at our country, when you're looking at the countries of the world, and some of the stupidity that has been going on, and people actually believe the lie because it's more comfortable than the truth, which would set them free. The truth is Jesus Christ. The truth is His Holy Spirit that wants to counsel you and make you love the unlovely. To intercede for those that don't deserve it any more than you did. Come on, put one hand up in the air. Say, I didn't deserve it.
I didn't deserve it.
I didn't require it.
I didn't require it.
It was God's choice to pull me in. It's time to do something. About our country, Lord. I know you have an ability. It is so much greater than my anger. And I apologize, Lord. If I've said things or allowed thoughts in my mind that some of these people don't deserve salvation. Because that's a lie from hell.
They deserve to be saved.
Just as much as what you have done for me.
I give you praise.
I'm not going to stop giving you praise.
Until all of our nation is saved.
Even those who don't deserve it. Whether they deserve it or not.
I ask that you praise.
And rejoice
through me
for their victory.
It's time for them to come to the Lord.
And stop this nonsense. They have an agenda.
And it's not a godly one.
Maybe my agenda ain't too swift either.
Continue filling me with your grace.
Your compassion. Your mercy.
And renew me.
Lord, I say it again.
Don't let me be angry.
It's not worth it.
Hallelujah.
Set them free.
In Jesus' name,
I pray.
In Jesus' name.